Hey everybody, this is Henry Bourne alongside my good friend.
I'm Chet Jamison.
And this is the Muni Pros Podcast.
We're back.
And we're planning on being consistent this time. We have no more vacations scheduled.
We keep saying that.
I know. I feel like we've said that.
Things come up, but.
Yeah. Look, it was the summer, Chet. You had the lake. I had what? I had the Outer Banks. I had Bonnaroo. I had the 4th of July. You had the 4th of July as well.
Yeah.
It was just a stretch of...
It was. We apologize.
We do. In Norway especially because obviously, you know, you don't even celebrate the 4th of July. So it's not even fair to them that
right.
we missed that week.
Exactly.
But Chet, I look back at our notes. The last thing we were leading into was PGA Championship preview. So that has happened.
That definitely has happened.
And you know, there is so much in the golf world we can talk about. You know, and I, you know, we could talk about Xander getting a win finally. We could talk about Tom Kim last week. But I really think to kind of catch everybody up to speed with the Muni Pros here, or the Muni Bros, I should say.
There you go.
We just kind of got to jump into that first major that we were leading into. I'm not talking about the Masters. I'm talking about the PGA Championship here. Yeah.
But first, we're in a new studio.
Oh yeah. I was actually going to bring that up, and then it just disappeared out of my brain. We are recording from Chet's homestead.
That's right.
But it's not Chet and family. It's just Chet.
It's just me.
How does that?
I moved out.
How does it feel to take that big of a step in life?
Feels good. It does. Scary.
And you said you made tacos tonight. Were they good?
They were fantastic.
Were they up to par with what your mom usually cooks?
Probably not.
See, I fully believe that. I've had her cooking, and it is.
It's just, yeah, it's hard to beat her cooking.
Yeah, well, it's the same with my mom. It's not like I'm at home grilling chicken, and it tastes. It doesn't matter. I could do the exact same things that she does. It's not going to taste the same. And the difference is, Chet, it's made with love.
That's right.
You know?
Amen.
And I mean, you like yourself. But speaking of liking yourself, Justin Thomas loves him some of himself. He said that at the President's Cup, and kind of a surprise winner here. He was up in the mix a little bit in the PGA Championship. I thought when I did get to watch it, because I actually was in the Outer Banks that week, so I was enjoying the beach. But you know, I never really thought Justin Thomas was going to be able to kind of mount the comeback that he did.
Right.
And he ended up getting in a playoff with Will Zalatoris, who we
shocker.
Are, which is a shocker there. And he came through. He won. Which that makes it his second PGA Championship. First one coming in 2017. Second one coming in 2022. We knew JT was looking to have a big year. I think the thing that makes JT special is he really wasn't having that great of a year.
Right. Yeah. It's like he was kind of, what's the term I'm looking for? Static, maybe?
Stagnant. Yeah. Well, and he was certainly, you know, he's certainly a top 10 player in the world, even like before the PGA Championship. But he just never seemed like he was struggling to either get in contention, or he would go out, shoot a plus three on Thursday, and then just shoot lights out for 3 days, but then you're a day behind and
right.
shooting low.
Yeah.
So I was really, I think that's actually the same scenario that happened in the PGA Championship. He kind of started off really slow, you know, in Southern Hills. It was a great tournament course. I really enjoyed watching just the layout of the course. The thing that we have to bring up here, Tiger.
Mm.
He did make the cut. He did make the cut, but then he had a withdrawal.
Yeah,
and that you know, what do you think? I mean, Tiger, obviously, you know, we're going through all the majors, so we can definitely discuss more on Tiger. But that PGA Championship, I thought it's less hilly. I mean, it is called Southern Hills.
It's more undulated than you may think.
I'm sure it's a lot darker than the camera suggests.
Yeah. And it got cold again.
That's I think that was the big thing.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing a pattern of weather and his health being an issue, obviously, because once it gets colder, you know, muscles tighten up, your whole body tightens up, starts aching easier. It's not loose as it would be during a hot summer day. So that's definitely the pattern that it's been going. Now, I guess I shouldn't jump too far ahead with his commitments, but.
Oh, Chet, this is our show, dude.
That's true. That's true. I saw something a while back that he's going to play in the PNC Father again. I believe the Hero World Challenge, just fun ones like that he's committed to already. Mm-hmm. So we definitely know that he's not giving up quite yet.
Oh, yeah. And we'll definitely talk about it with the British. Because,
right, yeah.
But I know Joe LaCava said, excuse me, I'm so sorry if that got on the mic, dude. That came out of nowhere. But we did see Joe LaCava say he stated that his plan is to try to play 3 to 4 leading into the Masters.
Yeah.
And at this point, is the Masters the only one that he can really still compete at? I thought it would be the Open, but
that's what I thought too. I think that's what a lot of people thought, just because, you know, it's more flat and you don't have to walk up hills as much. And he's played there longer than most people.
Yeah,
have,
exactly.
The British Open. But, I mean, the Masters, he's always going to, I don't know. It's tough because a lot of people are figuring out that golf course right now,
mm-hmm.
especially a lot of the youngsters like Will Zalatoris and even Rory last round last year.
That's.
I think he figured it out.
I think he's got it figured out. And that was electric. I know we talked about that on the show already, but I think that flipped the script for Rory's entire season. We went and saw him. He won the RBC Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which that was his second consecutive RBC Canadian, because it wasn't
right.
It wasn't an actual tournament the last 2 years because of COVID. So, yeah, Tiger, I think he's going to compete one more time. I think we're going to get one more, you know, last hurrah. He at the, you know, we can jump ahead. It's our show. We saw him at the Open say, so one of the reporters said, you retiring after this? And Tiger goes, me? No, 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 no. So clearly he still wants to compete, and he thinks he can. And I wholeheartedly believe it, but I think a big part of it is the weather really has to fall in his favor.
Yeah.
You can't get a cold Augusta. And I mean, it's just kind of mind blowing to me that Oklahoma in May got down to the temperatures that it did. So it's pretty crazy to me that that's how it went down. But Justin Thomas wins in a playoff. Zalatoris continues his run at majors of competing, you know, and finishing top five, top two.
Yeah.
I think I saw a tweet that said one of his quotes for last week was, he would give a lot of money to have about mm-hmm. an inch and a half of putts.
Foot and a half.
A foot and a half.
Yeah,
an inch and a half is very far. That's one putt.
It's like over the past 2 years, that I would give up a lot of money for that. And that's what I was going to bring up too. It's like every time we've seen him in contention, these playoffs and, you know, just being second place, it's all because of one missed putt, it seems like.
And we've seen his putting stroke.
It's bad.
And he made some changes, and you thought, okay, maybe he's turning a corner. I think it's a testament to him that he's as good as he is with that bad of a putting stroke.
Right.
And I'm not going to lie to you, this last, you know, this second, two, I don't know how I'm going to want to say this, this halfway through the season point for me, my putting feels like Will Zalatoris. I just can't. I cannot figure it out.
I think I got the yips right now when it comes to putting. It's weird. It's like I'm popping instead of being one smooth stroke.
I don't know what I'm doing. But on the golf trip last week or 2 weeks ago, any left to right putt, I was pretty much missing low. I was decelerating, and I just couldn't. I couldn't commit to not decelerate. I don't know. I don't know what my problem was. Mm. I feel for him. You know? the crazy part is he's doing that, like what I'm doing, but competing in majors.
Exactly.
But
it seems like he's making like 50% of them, and he's still doing it because it's like, I don't know, 5 feet and in?
Yeah.
But like on most of them, he makes them.
He does.
I think with the added pressure in of, you know, the playoff or being second place, I think that has a lot to do with it.
100%. It's just, it is kind of fun to watch because, especially if he's in contention, you never know what you're going to get. He could miss a 6-incher. Right. It's that bad.
Yeah.
And on those courses, you know, not Turtle, we unfortunately, you know, we don't have that same sharp edges on the cups or anything like that.
Yeah.
So it really is kind of crazy to see him do as well as he has. But it also, you know, he's going to get one. It's going to be
within the
next 2 years.
Yeah, for sure.
But let's jump to the U.S. Open because Zalatoris was right there once again, runner-up with none other than your Masters champ, Scottie Scheffler, who's put together undoubtedly a phenomenal season.
Yeah, it's been insane to watch.
Definitely on par with, you know, maybe a Jordan 2015 season, a Rory 2013, 2014. Not as many wins, maybe. Jordan obviously had two majors, which we never forget because who knows if he'll ever get another one. But overall, Matt Fitzpatrick is not who I had pegged to win the U.S. Open in a million years.
No. Me either.
And that shot, obviously you saw the shot on 18 out of the bunker.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I couldn't even begin to know how to hit that shot.
I don't know either. Like
especially under that pressure, you know, he was due, and he's the best part about him is he's hitting it further this season, but he's still not by any means a long hitter. And I gotta be honest here. He's probably the first guy with braces to win a major. I mean, that's got to be a fact, right?
Yeah, 100%.
You heard it here first, folks.
100%.
You know what? I'm going to Google it. Is Matt Fitzpatrick...
This is actually true. This is groundbreaking.
Is Matt Fitzpatrick the first to win a major with braces?
Well, we saw this week...
It doesn't really pull any good results.
I didn't think so. You'd think they would pull those stats because the PGA Tour pulls any stat they can for Tiger Woods.
Oh, I know. It's like
first person with a broken leg, one painted fingernail.
Yeah, it's
and that style of haircut to win.
Also,
come in 80th place.
Anytime someone does anything even remotely good, they'll be like, "This is, you know," they'll find a way to tie it back to Tiger.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Dude, every time somebody new becomes a world number one, they always bring up, he's been world number one for so many weeks, but he still has like 12 years and so many weeks and so many days. It's like, we get it.
I saw that tweet about Scottie Scheffler. It's like 12 years he has to stay at number one, which is
impressive.
It's just an absurd stat. I mean, I don't get tired of hearing it, but they do find a way to tie that in every chance they get.
Every new number one. But I wanted to bring up this week, the first player to be born in the 2000s won.
Yeah, Tom Kim, or it's, I don't, I'm going to be honest.
I don't know how to pronounce
it. Don't know.
It.
It's like Jun Hong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is crazy. That's crazy to think that's the first player born in the 2000s to win. And not only did he win, he shot a Sunday 61.
Yeah.
Which.
That's insane.
I watched
by five, right?
Yeah, I watched a decent amount of that tournament, and he shot a, I'm pretty sure he shot a, 8 under, I got to do the math here. Yeah, an 8 under 27 on the front.
Oh, my cow.
Now, granted, he only shot 1 under then on the back.
But still.
But
8 under on 1-9?
I've never shot 8 under even close.
No. Yeah.
I don't know how do you, as a 20-year-old, keep your composure?
Exactly.
I Lord knows I would not be able to.
Yeah.
I mean, at 20, I was shaking in my boots thinking about shooting 75.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I don't know if you watch any of the telecasts for Tom Kim, but Nick Faldo was bringing up that his favorite, the reason they call him Tom Kim is his favorite toy as a child was Thomas the Train.
Oh.
That's why they call him Tom Kim. But then Nick Faldo went on a spiel. Now, granted, obviously, I see it. It's on our notes here to talk about. We can. Nick Faldo was bringing up the Thomas the Train thing and about how he used to play with it as a kid. And he all of a sudden went into like a minute and a half spurt. And I've never heard Nick Faldo's accent so heavy. I was like, Nick, what are you saying? It used to be green, but I don't know. I've never heard someone's accent just come out of nowhere so thick. But Nick Faldo, 16 years as an announcer for CBS.
Yep.
And he's retired. I'm going to be honest. He's definitely going to be missed. Trevor Immelman's the one who's replacing him, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
I like Trevor Immelman, but Nick Faldo just has an iconic voice.
Right.
Trevor Immelman, obviously, you know, he knows his stuff. He's a Masters champion. But Nick Faldo was special. And, you know, he has a lot of experience to draw on when it comes to majors and down the stretch because, you know, he's definitely a very esteemed golfer in his own right, not just right. an announcer. So,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that whole moment when him and those three guys are...
It was sad.
Dude, I rewatched it today. It was, yeah, it's a tearjerker for
yeah.
sure.
Oh, I mean...
He said, I'm a single child, but doing this job, I found three brothers.
Yeah, 100%. I teared up a little bit. Yeah. I was like, Nick, why you got to do that? But no, I actually did turn it off before they did the closing, you know, stuff for CBS coverage. And I, like, looking back, I was like, why didn't I leave that on? That was a big moment.
Yeah, yeah.
It was more exciting than
iconic.
It was more exciting than the tournament.
Yeah.
No disrespect, Tom Kim. You killed it. We will jump, though, to the British Open. And, you know, there's a couple storylines we can bring up. Tiger missing the cut. But that's not really the whole... it's irrelevant compared to what happened on the weekend. Rory McIlroy looked poised to finally get back in the winner circle at a major.
Yep.
And the man from Down Under... comes out of nowhere.
Rick Norman? What? Oh, sorry. Source subject.
No, he comes out of nowhere, cans, what, birdies the first four of the back nine.
Yep.
And then the up and down on 17, I thought, okay, finally. Rory's going to, you know, he's going to get tied with Cam, mm-hmm. and Rory's going to birdie 17 or 18, and it's Rory's.
Yeah.
And this man, just unflappable, takes a putter. I don't even know how you guess how hard to hit that.
I don't know. I would hit it straight into the bunker.
Yeah, yeah. Without. Then it's not only that. It was like it was a great shot, and he still had 10, 12 feet, and he cans the putt to save par. And at that point, you pretty much knew he was – it was his because yeah. everybody was birdieing 18. It was playing like the mm-hmm. second easiest on the yeah. course.
But like that putt in itself, the one where he slings it around the bunker, that was a genius play. Because you have to hit a flop shot if you're hitting a wedge to a short-sided pin that's just over a pot bunker that if you go in the bunker, it's almost impossible to get out of. But the green runs away from you the whole time. I mean, I guess it goes front to back and then back to front, so it's kind of like a bowl, but still. Like this, the slope... from the top of the bunker to the pin was steeper than the back.
So. Oh yeah. And doing that, he took a lot of what could go wrong just completely out of play.
Yeah.
Because if you hit it a little long, who knows?
Exactly.
And you, especially if you're playing a flop shot and you leave it short, you're not getting to the flat or bottom of that bunker. You're going right. to be leaning into
the bank of it.
And, you know,
possibly having to hit it backwards and being in the same position you were. But it's like, what was I going to say? Man. I just completely lost it.
I mean, it's okay, Chad. I have no idea what you were going to say, but
I don't know either.
It was pure genius to play that shot.
100%.
And to do it under the pressure of winning a major. Go ahead.
I found it.
Chet, the light bulb just flickered.
It goes back to the saying, you know, I think it was Ben Hogan. He goes, it's not who can score better, it's who can miss, like, better.
Yeah, exactly.
And
it
like
is.
He it's course management to a T. in that situation. You know, he didn't panic. You know, he's won before, so he knows how to do it again.
Yeah, and he basically made it so that his worst score on that hole could be bogey.
Exactly.
And then you're still in the tournament entirely.
Yeah.
With a bogey, because he had a one shot lead at that point.
Yeah.
So, that's why they are pros and we're not.
Exactly.
Just being able to do that and recognize, like, hey, I'd rather have a 10, 12 footer for par than, you know, risking going long and having a ridiculously long putt or being in the pot bunker.
Right.
But Rory handles himself with class in defeat. And, you know, I'm sad. I wanted Rory to win, but it never felt on that Sunday like it was his tournament.
Right.
And yeah. He's going to break through. He's playing the best golf we've seen him play in the last how many years?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the good news is just a couple short months, we'll be right back at Augusta. So I do look forward to seeing Rory. I think the hype behind him going into the Masters next year is going to be Tiger-esque.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He's turning the right leaf, and he's going in the right direction with his golf game. I think he's getting his confidence back. You know, everybody's going to go through a slump. It's bound to happen. Golf's not a perfect game. There's no way you can be perfect at it. It's literally impossible.
Oh, yeah.
It may be the only sport that you can't be perfect at. Is that a hot take?
No.
Basketball, you can go 10 for 10.
Yeah, okay, you're 100% right. The only way that... Now, see, I would say, like, we got to define what a perfect round is, though. Because I would think... Now, I'm not saying this for the pros, but a perfect round would be 18 fairways or 14 fairways, 18 greens, and 36 putts.
That's fair.
That's a perfect round. That's as good as... It's not as good as it can get, but that is the definition of perfect. You did exactly what you needed to do, which we really should be a lot more excited when we shoot par, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's the thing with golf I love about it so much. Everybody asks me, like, you know, why do you choose golf or whatever? And it's because it's so frustrating but so satisfying at the same time.
Oh, it truly is the most satisfying game when you can have the worst day going, and then, you know, you got 177, and you just baby draw a 7-iron to 8 feet. I'm on cloud 9 after that. Yeah. And it's just one swing, and you're like, why can't I do that every time? And exactly. That's where the frustration comes in.
Yep.
And even worse, you can hit it to 8 feet and then 3-putt, because I am notorious for that.
It's all right. Jesse bought a new putter and thinks he's not going to 4-putt anymore, so...
He did not 4-putt on the golf trip.
He didn't, but he didn't have his new putter.
I still can't believe he got that putter. But, Chet, the biggest golf news, and certainly the one that we'll probably talk about the most here on this tonight's episode.
And a lot of episodes to come.
Liv Golf. Greg Norman's masterpiece. We have Phil Mickelson, Taylor Gooch, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Matt Wolf, Bubba Watson, Kevin Na, Sergio Garcia, Ian Poulter, all offered money to go, and they took it. And the big deal right now is they are, like, suing the PGA Tour to get into the playoffs. And... You know, Henrik Stenson got ex-nayed from being the Ryder Cup captain because of his decision. You know, golf was in one of the best spots it's been in since, you know, Tiger in 2000. And now with LIV Golf, I think golf is split down the middle. And it really started, Phil obviously was kind of the big tipping point in the big conversation, but losing DJ Brooks... Taylor Gooch, who was having a pretty good season on the PGA Tour. Yeah, I don't
understand that one. That one honestly ticks me off more than anything. Because I liked Taylor Gooch.
I did too. And I just cannot understand. I mean, look, he got offered like what, 150, 200 mil to go?
Yeah.
But you're basically saying, you know what? If I never play in another major, if I never play in another PGA Tour event, I got my money. But what my thing is, what are you playing for?
Nothing. There's nothing to play for.
These tournaments have no prestige. They have no history.
No. It makes no sense to me. And the fact that Taylor Gooch got interviewed on the first tee, I forget which tournament it was.
I think
and
it was the goes, first one.
You know, this may be more electric than the Ryder Cup. I go, get out of here, dude. Like, what?
I literally have to, I want to know what the heck he was thinking when he said that. I mean, because obviously the atmosphere there has nothing on the Ryder Cup.
Oh, 100%.
Because guess what? You're playing for something in the Ryder Cup.
Exactly.
Even if you come in last place at the last LIV Tour event took home $300,000.
I understand these guys like James Pyatt and Andy Ogletree, I think that's his
name. They're the amateurs or the young ones, right?
The young ones, the rookies. I understand those guys going. They need the money, okay? The reward is far greater than the risk in that situation.
And they were never on the PGA Tour, right?
They were sort of. It was kind of like sponsor exemptions okay. They were on. Because, yeah, they never won or had full exemptions, I don't think. So for them to go, that's understandable. If I was in that position, I would probably go as well. But, and Phil, it's just timing.
Phil, we're just seeing who Phil has always been.
He's dug himself a hole that he will never get out of.
Nope, and he's clearly a head case a little bit.
Oh, 100%.
He's got a little screw loose in the noggin.
Maybe Taylor Gooch has an addictive gambling problem, just like Phil. That's why he went.
Phil apparently still owes, I'm blanking, Chet, JT's caddy, Bones.
Bones, yeah.
Still owes him like $41 million or something crazy.
That's
like
ridiculous,
that.
Ridiculous, man.
I mean, if someone owes me $41 million, I'm knocking down their door, dude.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, but the fact, so, yeah, when you get back on track, with this whole suing the PGA Tour for playoffs, you have made your decision. You didn't choose PGA Tour. So the fact you're trying to crawl back to them is ridiculous, in my opinion.
Oh, it 100% is. It's you made your bed. I saw a tweet by one of the golf writers, and they said, you can't have your cake and eat it too, and then have my cake, or something like that. It was some like analogy. And
you got cake?
I would love some cake.
I would love some chocolate cake. Actually, I have cheesecake in the fridge.
Chet, I worked out, man. I'm watching.
So you need something to reward yourself.
I rewarded myself with a salmon patty at my mom's.
There you go.
Do you like salmon patties?
I mean, I don't mind salmon.
Yeah, the salmon patties are okay. They're not salmon, though.
Yeah.
But.
Get off track.
Yeah. But no, it is just crazy to me that they think they're entitled almost to go. And the real big kicker is what's it gonna take to get the LIV Tour to have official world golf rankings? Because if it never gets that,
there's no point.
It doesn't matter. It does not matter. And this tour will be irrelevant. It'll be nothing because how much money are the Saudis gonna put into this before they don't see a return?
Right.
And the big thing is the team aspect. You know how they have the Majestics and all those?
They have the draft and all that.
So if they get sponsors for those teams, like, is it like Formula One, Chet? You watch Formula One?
Mm-hmm.
So if that happens.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to turn this into.
Yeah, and if that happens, then that could be a game changer. That could make it a little bit more interesting, certainly.
Yeah, but it still goes back to the history and the prestige, like you said. Like, oh. It's never going to have that, ever.
Ever, no. And
it will have history, not a good one.
But not, yeah. They're,
not
they're,
a good one.
The history they're writing right now is not good. And
no, it's literally still piggybacking off of the PGA Tour by saying the PGA Tour is crap and we're doing something better.
Or new, exciting.
Sarcastically, yeah.
Have you watched any of the telecast or
bits and pieces? Yeah. It's terrible. I don't like it.
I've watched like an hour was worth, and the thing about it is if they're not playing for anything, why do I care?
Yeah, that's the whole point. I have no motivation to watch it.
Because golf is boring to watch if there's
nothing to play for.
And that is the problem. We have it here. A big thing with it, they got David Faraday to do the broadcast.
Yeah.
Which is a tough loss for the PGA Tour. I love David Faraday.
I want to know his reasons.
I do too.
I don't think he's came out with a statement.
I don't think so either. But
if you guys have seen a statement, please send it our way.
But please.
I don't think he has.
I don't think he has. But if, you know, even with him doing the broadcast, it doesn't really change anything.
Doesn't change.
Yes, now the broadcast is a little bit more familiar.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, nice in a sense.
We're
but,
upbeat because right now it's just boring.
But Phil is like collectively plus 50 for these tournaments.
Yeah, I said over the past, he's earned like, what was it, 11 mil in the past few tournaments he's played, and he's shot plus 20 in
yeah.
his past four rounds or something.
Like, come on.
It's like, that's, how is that enjoyable?
Yeah, I don't want to watch Brooks Koepka or Brooks. Brooks has been sucking.
Yeah, yeah. Because once again, nothing to play for.
Yeah, and
they're there to collect a paycheck. They have no motivation to do so.
Oh yeah, and the Brooks is funny because he was this killer persona on the tour, winning majors, and now it's like all he did was get a paycheck, and he doesn't.
And he followed Bryson, the one person he hates the most.
Oh, I forgot to add him to the list.
Yeah,
Bryson's there, yeah. Which. Again, I don't like him, but
that's fine. He can leave. Him and Patrick Reed, they can go.
Oh yeah, Patrick Reed's there too. Yeah. I forgot to add the two people I dislike the most. Yeah, Patrick Reed. Interesting enough, though, he actually I saw a golf writer talk about realizing you have a month off, so you go and get exemptions into Asian tour events.
Mm.
So clearly. You know, it's like, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah.
I just wish, it really puts the PGA Tour in such a bad spot. And it's been kind of a whirlwind.
Yeah. And another thing, I saw Paige Spearnak's tweet. She said, these guys left, or it said, LIV players. We left the PGA Tour so we can play less golf. LIV players, we want to play more PGA Tour golf by trying to get into the playoffs. It's like, it makes no sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense. And it's just, it's clearly just all about the money.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't stand for it. I don't like it.
And I want to see it fail.
I do too. But honestly, you got to give LIV Golf props because they couldn't have showed up at a better time. Like, their timing was impeccable.
No, they did do... It's perfect timing on their part. And they've done a lot of things right.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're playing courses that the PGA Tour doesn't visit.
Yep.
That's smart.
Getting a bunch of pro-ams for the pro-ams. Getting a bunch of popular people out there.
Yeah. And it... You know, who's to say the fans that actually go and watch in person don't have a great time?
Right.
You know? But I still... If a guy, you know, Patrick Reed in a LIV golf event made a 25 footer to win the tournament, yeah, that's hype, sure. But I would rather see, even though I hate Patrick Reed, I'd rather see him make a 25 footer at the Genesis.
Oh, yeah.
Where you have almost 70 years of history.
Exactly.
And it means something. And you're not writing your name in history books when you win on the LIV Tour. And that's what stinks.
There's no green jacket. There's no claret jug. Nothing.
And there's no tradition.
No tradition.
And that, you know, that is where it really misses. But
it's like the college frat party of golf.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, you know, the Saudis really don't have a price limit.
Mm.
So it came out that they offered... Tiger Woods,
yeah.
$750 million to play on the LIV Tour.
And he rejected it.
And that's because Tiger knows. Tiger,
he knows.
And Tiger has only, he's never cared about the money.
No. And I, from this standpoint, the one thing that's driving Tiger to keep playing is having meaning behind where he's playing and when he's playing. If he accepts that money, he'd just retire. He'd play one tournament and that'd be it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Because there's no meaning behind it. He would never play good ever again, just like Phil.
Yeah.
Just like Brooks.
That's a good point. There's literally, if Tiger took that money, what is putting his body through all of that worth?
Exactly.
No, it's not worth $750 million.
No. He's got a record to chase after. He's not done trying to write his name in the record books,
yeah,
like you said.
He's got Jax and he's got Sam Snead's. And one of those is one win away.
Yeah.
And that, I don't think, there's a chance he doesn't quit till he can't play.
It would be sweet if he played on Champions Tour.
That would be
just
pretty
to say,
cool.
Screw you, Live Golf.
Could you,
on the Champs Tour.
And could you imagine him just absolutely dominating?
That'd be incredible.
Raising the purses of Champions Tour events by like 5-10 million for like the majors.
Oh,
I wouldn't
good.
Put it past Tiger.
Yeah. Also, with the Live Golf making an impact, we don't have it written down here, but was it Q School? They're offering top five players who, or no, it's the Korn Ferry Tour, sorry. Korn Ferry Tour is top five players. What was it again? Maybe it was Q School. It was Q School. So top five players in Q School at the end of the year automatically get exempted in the PGA Tour.
Oh, yeah. The PGA Tour changed like a couple of their rules.
Yeah.
And they're changing something with, I forget what it is. It's something that has to do with how, you know, amateurs can get in. They're making it more easily accessible because that's part of the problem is it's really hard to get
hard.
On the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have sponsor exemptions, but.
But what does that mean for guys who have been stuck in the Korn Ferry Tour for the past 6 years, 5 years, and they were top five in Q School? That's got to hurt.
It definitely has to hurt. But who's to say that?
You're right.
I just took like a drink of water. Got a little air in me. Who's to say, though, that the golf that they were playing at Q School, that could have been their best golf. And now they
That's
can't
true.
Compete on the Korn Ferry Tour. So your top five, who's to say they wouldn't have came out 1 year on the PGA Tour, fizzled out just like they're doing on the Korn Ferry Tour?
Yeah.
I mean, great point for sure. But I think the changes the PGA Tours are making is going to be good. I know the fall season now is they're trying to revamp it a little bit and make some changes. So a lot of good can come out of this. But here's my question. When and more likely, you know, actually, let me say this backwards. If, and I say more likely, when the LIV Tour fizzles out, do these players get to go back?
I don't know. It's hard to say. At some point, you do have to forgive and forget, as long as they own up to their mistakes. But, like, Phil's suspension is, what, 2 years now? It's up to 2 years?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I think they will eventually. It's going to take some time and healing, but...
Yeah, they're going to have to let him back. I mean...
You got to forgive and forget.
And you got, you know, here's the other big question I have. So you have a lot of rumored names of international, like where they're from.
Yeah.
And the reason they maybe haven't gone is because this year's the President's Cup. So Hideki, we've heard rumors of Hideki Matsuyama, Cameron Smith, who just won the British Open.
Yeah.
What happens when you're reigning British Open champ and your Masters champ from 2 years ago leaves for LIV?
But, I mean, we lost a lot of big names, too.
Oh, DJ was big.
Brooks.
Brooks Koepka's big.
I'll even throw Patrick Reed in there, Captain America.
You do kind of have to throw
you
him
have
in
to.
There.
It's only fair.
And, you know,
I don't know. That's, I think it's going to look different, obviously, because you won't have the same guys there as we did last year. I mean, we'll obviously still have Scotty, you know. Hudson Swafford probably will be on there. Jordan.
JT. Yeah.
We'll be fine.
Oh, we're going to be A-okay.
A-okay. We saw it last year at the Ryder Cup.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, we've never had an issue in the President's Cup. We've definitely won it more than the Ryder Cup, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's just super crazy that you have a lot of rumored names of international people, you know, live internationally, not in Europe, who could jump ship as soon as the President's Cup, as soon as the President's Cup is over, which I'm very excited for, but I think it's going to be a very telling moment for where the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour is at.
Yeah.
Sure. But the good news is about some of these players that have jumped ship, because, you know, DJ, Taylor, Brooks, you know, Kevin Na, he definitely could have been in the playoffs. The good news is that gets our boy, who may, you know, probably won't do anything in the one event he plays, but Ricky Fowler makes it to the playoffs.
Hey, he's
number
the last
125.
Player. He's the last player. I wanted to bring it up. Yeah. Dude, he's got some work cut out for him.
What's wrong with him, Chet?
I don't know.
They don't even, obviously, like, it's hard for us to say because
honestly, why hasn't he gone to live, in all honesty?
I don't know, man.
He 100% got an offer.
Three of your best friends, Tiger, Jordan, JT.
I think he knows he's loved by the PGA Tour.
It would be a slap in the face to the PGA Tour.
It would be a slap in the face, for sure.
And I also think he knows he can get back there. I mean, he has fallen. You know, the good news, Jordan fell.
Yeah.
But Ricky has...
He's been gone for a while. Jordan fell, came back. Jordan was just in a slump. I think Ricky, I don't know what he's in, man.
He doesn't, and it's hard for us to see. We can't really watch him play because he doesn't get shown.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him. I hate to see it happen with anybody.
But Ricky especially, it's hard to see someone who was top five in every major in 2014.
Yeah.
And then see where he's at now.
Yeah.
And we know he can do it, but like Butch Harmon said, it was, you got to choose between being an actor or a golfer.
Yeah.
And it's just, it'll be interesting to see. I am surprised he hasn't gone to live, but I'm glad he hasn't. I hope he plays well this week. And if he does, obviously there's a chance he gets to the next week.
Yeah.
But it's the FedEx St. Jude this week, right? Or is it Northern Trust?
I think Northern Trust is next week.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Yeah. I always thought that was the second round.
Yeah, I don't know. Because we have what?
We should know this.
We definitely should know this. Hang on, folks. The PGA Tour began on Monday, September 13th. I don't know why that's what came up. It is. Why am I using an ad blocker? Continue without supporting. So yeah, it's the FedEx St. Jude Championship. It is the BMW Championship and the Tour Championship. I thought the Northern Trust was part of that.
I did too.
Maybe
they switched sponsors.
Yeah, that has to be it. But yeah, FedEx St. Jude is this week. Next week is the BMW, and we close at one of our favorite courses of the year, always Eastlake Tour Championship.
Eastlake is one of the classics.
Oh,
so good.
It's a bucket list.
Oh, 100%.
And I think it's one that'll stand the test of time. You know, yeah. They talk about, you know, rolling the ball back or whatever, but the scores still aren't. They don't get crazy high on that course. Because it's so dang hard. It's just such a, you got to miss on the, if you're going to miss.
Ball placement's paradise.
Yeah. You got to miss on the greens in the right spot.
Yeah.
I still never remember, I'll never forget 2018, crying my eyes out.
Dude.
To Tiger.
Those fans.
Oh.
Falling behind him.
I'll never forget. See, that's what the LIV's missing right there. I will never forget watching that.
Yeah. Me neither.
2019 Masters. I put that up there. I
cried there.
I cried real tears when Jordan won at Nelson last year.
Yep.
That was just, that was needed. And then his sneak attack win this year at the RBC. The one at Harbortown.
No, it's not the Heritage. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
RBC Heritage. Yep. It's right after the Masters.
Yep.
Yeah, that man was pissed. He lost or missed the cut at the Masters.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Which I don't blame him. He normally plays super well there.
Yeah, and I think that is definitely a little bit motivating for him. But I hope to see him do well in the playoffs. He hasn't really been super relevant lately. He's just been...
He's just been hanging out, it seems like.
Yeah, and he hasn't been playing that much either. Especially after the Open. I think most players kind of take that little break. But going into the FedEx St. Jude, Chet, let's go ahead and...
Oh, we got to make picks.
We got to make picks here.
Forgot about that part.
Brendan Todd.
Field. All right.
Oh, that is annoying.
Me or you first?
You go first, big bull.
Sure, you want Siri to flip a coin?
Yeah, have Siri flip a coin.
Heads me, tails you.
I got tails. All
right. Flip a coin. It's tails. It's all you.
Oh.
It's all you.
I'm going to go with...
Dude, where's the field? Why can't I find it?
Oh, wow. Jason Day made the playoffs. It's kind of surprising. I'm going to go with Colin Morikawa.
Good pick. Good pick. Can't go wrong with Colin.
Never.
I am going to go... Oh, we didn't talk about Tony's back-to-back wins.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Well, Tony had back-to-back wins. All right, next.
He did have back-to-back wins.
He's figured out how to win now, I think.
I really think he had. I think we could see... We could see him win the FedEx Cup this year for sure.
Oh, 100%.
And I think going into next season, we could see a big Tony Finau year. And I am all for it. We love Big Tone, man.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You going to Colin? I'll go JT.
Justin Thomas. I do love JT. I just do not
like... What a guy.
I just do not like his new clothing line.
Yeah. Well, he could have had the other one, but...
Yeah, that was definitely on him.
Yeah.
I'm going to go another American, Xander Schauffele. Or Schauffele.
Homa's 13?
Yeah, he's had a really good season this year.
That's true. He won, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Man, they're all good. I'll go Patrick Cantlay.
Patrick Cantlay. I wonder where we're from, Chet.
Yeah.
He's had kind of a... Has he won this year?
He was in a... Yeah, he won the... He was in a playoff with Davis Riley.
Oh, that's right. I don't remember the tournament.
What is that tournament, man? Is that the Travelers? Yeah, it was the Travelers.
You're right.
Man, look at me go.
I am going to make a pick a guy who's been trending all season, having quite the year for himself, Sahith Thigala, one who we said was from South Africa, yeah, and he's from California.
But... I don't know for sure. It could be a Jason Day situation. So, my pick. Not a guy you hear too often. His name is JT. JT Poston.
Oh, you're taking JT Poston.
JT Poston.
He should have won that one tournament a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I am going to go with Mr. Flatstick, Cameron Smith.
Good choice, good choice. I'm going Billy Horschel. He always turns up in the playoffs, it seems like.
He does.
He gets that killer instinct. What did I say? Instinct. It's instinct.
Instinct.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
I still can't believe he actually has a FedEx Cup. Like, it's kind of mind-blowing to me that he...
It's like it just slipped by.
Yeah. It's same with Bill Hawes.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
That's crazy.
He's very irrelevant now. I mean, I haven't really heard much of Bill Hawes. I mean, he's kind of had a decent season this year. I'm going with the Brit, Matt Fitzpatrick, Mr. Braceface.
Braceface. One more pick, right?
I'd get braces again if it meant I could hit out of the bunker like that from 220 yards.
One more pick. Tom Hoagie, 17? You know what? Man, this is tough. Every time I've picked Scotty, he's played absolutely horrible.
Well, don't pick him.
I'm not picking him. Watch, he's going to win this week. I'll go Zalatoris.
Will Zalatoris. All right.
He normally does pretty well for me. Knock on wood.
Well, yeah. Folks, that is our pick'ems for the week. We will be back next Monday or Thursday, chat.
I'll get back to you. I don't know my work schedule yet.
Okay. So. Well, the good news is, folks, we will be back next week. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Obviously, it is good to be back. We have missed it. A lot of vacations, a lot of just busy. But Chet's got a new crib. We are going to leave the air on next week.
Yeah, the AC unit is very loud, so I didn't want it to interrupt the podcast, but it'll definitely be on, so you guys will have to deal with it.
Yeah, you guys are stuck with it. I'm drip sweating.
It's hot.
But folks, as always, I'm Henry Bourne alongside my good friend.
My name is Sponsors, and I would like for you to mention me.
Oh, Chet. It's been a while. First of all, Flagstick Golf Apparel. It is coming up into fall golf. You need a pullover. You need whatever you want. Golf related, they got hats, tees, gloves, everything you can kind of think golf affiliated, they have it. Just use the promo code MUNIPROS, no caps, and you'll get 10% off. They have a lot of good stuff. I highly recommend checking it out, even if you don't purchase anything. It's definitely a up-and-coming golf company, as well as a sponsor by Spencer Maxwell, the number one realtor in the Miami Valley. If you want his information, just give me a call.
Henry's phone number is...
Yeah, 937-911. But, folks, I'm Henry Bourne alongside...
I'm Chet Jamison.
And this was and is the Muni Pros Podcast.
Yep, take care.